Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Big lights are coming on. I can see well anyways. Amen. I want to start off, you know, Pastor, I'm kind of off subject just for a second, but Sunday night we started praying intercessory prayer for people to come in and for lives and for souls and family members. I'm telling you why this is so important, what we did Sunday night. If some of y'all weren't here, we started praying for lost people, for our family members, and for church people who have been out, because Satan is after them. Today, I had confirmations from a number of guys at the gym. I am coming to church tonight. I'm a man of my word. I will be there. They're not here. And you know what they called me? One of them, the one we were talking about, he was asking me about his brother, because his brother is a Satanist, and his brother got into an accident tonight. And he said, I can't make it. I got to go my brother's car. And I'm like, the night that he said he's coming to church, his brother gets into an accident, which means the other friend can't come. And the other guy's like, I got to work. My boss is making me work late. And I'm like, you know what? Because I've been believing God that this is going to fill up with, and my generation, younger ones are going to start coming in hearing the word. Because they need to, because that's our next leaders. That's our next business people. That is, to me, I'm watching these kids at 1 o'clock, and me and Megan are going to start hitting these kids coming down from Popka, because as they're getting older, those are our next people that are in the city. And a lot of them, I can't come to church. You know, they don't know the Lord, or it's, I don't really need to go to church. I talk to God. And so, you know, what's the point of me reading my Bible? I'm close with the Lord. And so I hear that all the time at the gym. And so tonight I was like, oh, all right, cool. I got at least two guys, maybe three coming. Get a text and none of them are coming. I'm like, okay, devil. We're going to start praying over this next generation, because to me, I literally had them here, and then my brother's in a car accident. I got to go to Orlando, and I'm like, okay, we got some praying to do for this church, for this next generation, for young people coming in, because I believe we can reach them. I believe people are hungry, but there's something about this church and what we teach here that Satan hates more than anything in the world. The authority of the believer, these people's lives, and people's lives are being changed. And if you really look back at what's happened over this church in the past, I mean, there's a lot that's actually happening. If you look back at the 4 years of Bible school, this church has done a lot. We're in the middle schools, and then the high school just opened up today. Teresa went to the high school with Pastor Megan, and we're teaching in the middle schools now. And the high school's opening up, and we got other things. She's about to go to maybe a few more. So there's things happening. And so sometimes we're going to talk about transitions tonight, because transitions are good. And my title is going to be called The Transition Part 1, The Boring. And I was just going to call my whole sermon The Boring, because then, you know, it's a title grabber. It's going to, what's so boring? Really, the word's not boring, but I want to get into something with transitions, because God will take you through transition periods. And so if you go to, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. As you go to Genesis, I'm going to read a few scriptures. You can follow me there if you had put them in, Miss Tracy. I'm going to go slow. God works in seasons in life. And so I want to read one thing about God's seasons. Genesis 1:14, God said, let the lights be the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. What God is saying is, I'm making seasons in your life, and I'm going to divide them by days, years, and months. There's times in our lives where, you know, we get into a season where it's like there's a lot happening at Word of Life Church. And it's amazing. We're running, jumping. Mark Hankins is here. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Okay, it's done. What's next? Where are we going? What's happening next? What's our next big thing? Who's our next big guest speaker? And so I was thinking about this yesterday, because I started praying, and I think the Lord wanted me to teach tonight, and with the help of somebody else in the congregation, this became possible. Amen. And I know the Lord's been transitioning me to teach a lot more and transitioning my life. But sometimes with transitions, it's not always like glorious and glamorous when transitions happen. And there's a lot of boring stuff that happens in transitions. And I kind of want to talk about some of that tonight. Because what happens is we go from excitement in America to excitement to fast food to the movies, family party. This is what we're doing. The church is doing another big event. And it's like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? New thing. Let's go. Hallelujah. Things are transforming at Word of Life. We're blowing the doors off. We're going to have 500 people in here in Jesus' name. We're going to reach the whole city. Hallelujah. Let's go, you know, and then if it's not happening, it's like, what's happening, Lord? Why are we not moving quicker? And I've thought that because I've been praying on a lot of stuff myself for my generation, for me. I've been going to the Lord going, what is it going to take to get young people in here? Well, I have dreams and visions for 30s, 40s, younger to come into this place to know what we know, right? But the Lord gave me something yesterday. He said transitions will happen, but then what happens in between after a transition is the boring part that most people in America think, oh, I can't stand this next part of my life as I'm waiting for my next big breakthrough to happen, right? So if you go to Genesis 12, the Lord said to, oh, you guys are turning. I hear some pages crackling. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, go from your family and from your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you. You can go to the next one. I'll make you a great nation and I will bless you with an abundance of increase of favors. Make your name famous and distinguished and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. I will bless those who bless you. Okay, we're going to stop there. Here's what happens. Then you go to chapter 17. Years later, now the Lord comes to Abraham. And he goes, Abraham's 90 at this point. Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. So he tells him in 12 to get out of his nation. I don't know how old he was. Maybe dad knows how old he was during this time. Then he comes back chapters later. Abraham gets older, and now he says, now we're going to begin for the will of God for your life. And that's some time. You're going to a new land. You're transitioning. You're moving. You're getting out of your father's house. We're going somewhere new. And then all of a sudden, Abraham moves, and it's like, what's next? He's just waiting for orders from the God. Next thing you know, finally, God shows up 90 years old. Now I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You and Sarah are going to have a child. Well, when did that happen? Years later. Years later, before he even had Isaac. And then he had Ishmael, kind of messed things up a little bit, still, you know, suffering from some of that today in the Middle East. But then it was years and years. I don't know how, he was 100-something, right? With, I have my numbers a little bit off tonight. I have a lot going on upstairs. Then maybe another 10 years before he has Isaac, the promise. There's like 20-year period of just waiting, right? Where you think, okay, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on the Lord. What do you do during that time, transition period? You move, okay, God, what's next? I'm waiting. Let's go, God. Let's oh, boom, pop, pop. Let's blow it at the seams. Big things happening all the time. Maybe not. This is where it gets interesting. I was talking to the Lord yesterday, and I said, what's next for Water Life Church? What's next for me, God? What am I doing? I was stirred up yesterday just praying. All right, Lord, what am I preaching on tomorrow night? What am I doing for my generation? And the Lord said, here's going to be the boring part. He said, till Christ is formed in you. And that's going to be in, and it's not boring, but to most people, they think it is. Galatians 4:19. My little children over whom I travail at birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's quite, Paul is going to start going through some scriptures. And I kind of want to read these fast, but I may take them kind of slow. Let's go through this where we went through love, right? The greatest commandment is love. That you love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first and greatest commandment. All the law, the prophets hang on these two things. So God says, okay, you want to fulfill the will of God for your life. First thing you're going to do is you're going to walk in love with people. You're going to love God with all your heart. Then you're going to love people. Well, what's the next thing? Paul, if you look at every chapter of the Bible from like, I'm going to have from Ephesians like all the way to Hebrews. Paul starts off until at every beginning of the chapter, Christ be formed in you till you grow up, until you mature. Now God is going to grow you up into things. And you're like, okay, well, I mean, it's not sounding too bad, right? God's going to grow me up. But what happens is the growing process can be like not exciting because you're like, all right, God, what's next? And he goes, wake up, read your Bible, pray, go to church. Okay, God, great. That's great. Yeah, I can do that. Okay, first couple weeks, yeah, this is going good. It's going good. All right, God, yeah, I can do that. Not a big deal, you know? So what does that look like, God? Okay, well, God says, I want you to grow in the word. Okay, so we got a couple things here. Illustration, right? Greens, you need these. Not fun to eat. Steak, fun to eat. Great. Helps you grow. Amen. Okay. Okay, God, what are we doing next? Till Christ is formed in you. Wants you to grow. Okay. Now we can do that. All right, what are we doing next? All right, well, now we're going to exercise our faith. We're going to grow in love. Okay, cool. All right, God, did that. Do it again. Tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. Do the same thing. Tomorrow. All right, God, I'm doing that. Ready for the next transition of my life. Ready to move forward. I mean, that's kind of heavy now. Did that a couple times. Whew. I don't know, God. I'm getting kind of tired. Are we going to keep doing this over and over, God, till Christ be formed in you? Let's read another one. This is what the Lord was telling me personally the other day. And I was kind of like, Lord, me? Me out of all people? I'm like, Lord, I'm ready for the next phase of my life. I'm ready for transition. What's happening till Christ be formed in you? I want you to grow. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 5, 10 through Amplified Translation, 1 Corinthians 5, 1, 5 through 10. And so I'm going to read this in the Amplified. And I think what happens is, in American society, we kind of base our lives off of exciting things. And just, I'm ready, man. Lord, thank you for the blessing today, tomorrow, that something good's going to happen to me today. I'm busting at the seams. Financial blessing's going to hit me today. Lord, I'm ready for $1 million. Are you? Are you really? I can handle it, God. I can handle the big stuff. I'm ready. I got saved a couple weeks ago. I'm ready to win the world. God says, are you? Yeah, God, I can handle it. I'm ready to go to the world. I'm ready to win the nations. Well, imagine if God, the other day, him and I did 105 pounds. Imagine if God dropped this guy right on your chest and said, you ready for the big stuff? You ready to take the world, win everybody to Jesus, cast out devils, deal with big devils? I'm ready, God. I'm ready for the next phase of my life. I'm pumped. God says, okay. I can't even move that thing. God said, maybe you're not as ready as you think you are. Till Christ be formed in you. We're always ready for the next big thing in our life. I'm ready to do God's will. What if God really dropped this on your chest? Oh, help, help, help me, Jesus. I got all these devils. I got all these problems. I got all these family members. I got stuff happening in my life. Hell's breaking loose. Oh, God, I can't do it. I quit. I'm done. But see, that's where God has to. Dad gave a prophecy to Miss Karen the other day, and I loved it because I took it for myself. He said, during the dry seasons, if it rained all the time, the rain would wash everything out. But if the dry season come, what happens to the roots? They go deep, deep. You're in the Word of God. It's boring every day, growing, reading. I know, God, I did that yesterday. Keep doing it till Christ be formed in you. How long is this going to take, God? I'm ready for my dream to come to pass. I'm ready to travel the world, and I mean, I'm not want to be a traveling evangelist, but you know what I mean. Everybody's like, God, I'm ready. But many times people think that they're ready, but really if they got under the weight of really what God wants to do, it's going to crush them, the weight of it. You can't give that to a child. So do you have my illustration of the child? I don't think we ever put it in there. I put it in the temp folder. It might be in the temp folder. You can check if you have it. If not, I will give them that one verbally. So we went to, the next one was 1 Corinthians. So that in him every respect you were enriched in full power and readiness of speech to speak of your faith and complete knowledge and illumination to give you full insight into its meaning. In this way, our witnessing concerning Christ, the Messiah, was so confirmed and established and made sure in you. The witnessing concern of Christ, the Messiah, was so confirmed and established, and he said, what? Made sure in you. Are you established in what Jesus did and what he said in his word? You know what happened on the cross. Can you explain that? God, I'm ready for the next thing. Okay, go tell that person about Jesus. Oh, God, I can't talk to that person. But God, I'm ready for my next transformation in life. I'm ready for my breakthrough. I'm ready to get that $1 million, and I'm going to start doing things for you. Okay. Well, you're establishing Christ. You've been reading the word, right? You've been praying, worshiping. Talk to that person. Oh, God, I can't do that. Oh, God, I can't do that. Okay, back to the 5 pounds. Let's go. Let's try this again. All right, Lord, read the word, study, eat the word, work out. Okay. Read the word every day, every day. Read the word. All right, God, I'm ready for the big guns. Are you? You ready for the big stuff? Okay, maybe not. I'm going to go back to the little stuff, Father. Do this, do that. Serve in your church. Do that. Talk to that person. Give, tithe. Up your tithe. People think it's going to go from this big thing to this, I'm moving on, but it happens in small things. Mark chapter 4, this is something the Lord was, I'm not done with this one yet. Christ will be formed in you, confirmed and established, he made sure in you that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any spiritual endowment or Christian grace. You're not going to be falling behind. He's saying, I'm going to make sure you're going to have every spiritual endowment, everything, every equipping that you need to do your job. Paul says, Christ's in you, and then we're going to stay with you, and we're going to work with you, and I'm sending Timothy. I got, many disciples that he sent to these churches to work with these guys till what? Till Jesus was, they were equipped. So the Bible says that we're, as pastors and teachers, are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So our job is to equip you, but your job is to do the work of ministry. People think, oh, it's pastor's job. I do the work of ministry as a Christian because I'm a Christian outside of here, inviting guys to church, telling them about Jesus, working out my own salvation. But the Bible says that you are to be equipped to do the work of ministry. And so he said, constantly living in hope of a coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, being made visible to all, that he will establish you to the end. So God's going to establish you and keep you steadfast, give you strength, guarantee your vindication, that you'll be warrant against all accusations or indictments so that you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, therefore ever true to his promise, and then he can depend on. By him you are called into companionship and to participation with his son. So you're in a companionship with Jesus. Christ our Lord, I urge and entreat you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be in perfect harmony, full agreement of what you say. There'll be no dissensions or factions or divisions among you, that you'll be perfectly united in your common understanding and your opinions and judgments. He's saying, I want you to grow up. I want you guys to be united. I don't want you guys to be fighting and bickering. Lord, we're ready to blow this church out. We're ready to have 500 people here. Okay. Well, he's saying, I want them to be united. I want you to be established in who you are. Because here's what happens. You probably didn't find my little illustration. It's just names. You got a baby come into church, they're a baby. New people come in. The cool thing about when you have people who grow up in God, some of you have been here for a few years, you go from a babyhood or child stage to the adolescent stage. And then from that to the teenage stage and then full adult maturity. But what happens is even a lot of times some of the older ones can start helping the younger ones as they come in. Because babies are going to come in, they're going to love you. I'm so excited to be here. And then the next week they're going to be like, I'm never coming back, or I love you and now I'm mad at you. And then they're going to gossip and then they're going to say I'm sorry. And it's like a kid, just all over the place. And then they're happy and then they're sad. And so you have to have an establishment of believers in here to help the church grow. I can only take like 4 or 5, maybe 10 people, 5 in my personal influence around me that I'm constantly talking to, helping, right? So the job of the church is you to get established for you to do the work of ministry. So we want to grow as a church. We want to go to the next transition. But God's saying there's a few things that it's going to take. Number one, your personal development of the Word of God. How much are you in your Bible reading it? And I'm not just reading it, but like I'm studying books by Brother Hagin. I'm in my 4th year. And the other day I'm sitting out there and I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm tired of 4th year. I mean, I love it, man. It's been great. If you look back how much I've changed in 4 years of Bible college, it's amazing how much I've learned. But it's not easy. It's boring stuff. And in some ways, you just read and you read and you read and you study and you write essays and you read and you read. And then 4 years later, you're still reading. You're doing this for 4 years. You get tired of eating as a bodybuilder, you're just ever. But then 4 years later, you go, oh, it feels good. All right, God, I can take on a little more. Christ be formed in me. He establishing me, equipping me for the work of ministry. That feels good, God. God, I'm ready to take on the world. No, maybe not yet. Okay, we'll go back to this. God says, do the boring stuff. Read the Word of God every day. Just reading it. God, I'm ready for my next big breakthrough. Just keep reading, keep sowing. But God, I'm ready for my next competition. I'm ready. I'm going to be ready in 6 months. I'm going to win. No, it takes a little while to do a competition. You don't, even in the natural, you're not going to go into a bodybuilding comp and just blow everybody out of the water and win in 6 months. It takes time, eating, dedication. And so I'm standing at my house and I'm like, all right, God, I'm just ready. I just need some excitement in my life. You know what? Forget that. I'm gonna do something new, God. I need something new. I'm done with bodybuilding, God. I'm tired of bodybuilding. I'm tired of doing the same thing every single day. You know what? I'm gonna do something new in my life because you know what? As an American, if it's not, the old thing's not exciting me, I'm gonna do something new, exciting. oh, I'm in boxing now, God. Let's go. Okay, I get a trainer. Guess what he does? We sit there like this. One, two, three. One, two, three. And then we did this the other night. And that's all I've been doing for weeks. I go in there in the gym. He's like, you're doing your training. Okay. One, two. I turn my head a little bit. Two, three. There's like all these combos. He showed me like hundreds of them. But what am I doing right now? One, two, three, and maybe a turn. Something like that. I'm doing that wrong. Man, God, I need something exciting. I need something new. What is it? It's the same thing. Christ formed in you. Read the word. Eat the word of God. Pray. Worship the Lord. Pray in tongues. Okay, God, I've been doing this for all year. Okay, quote the word. Any man in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes brand new. Luke 6:38, given and shall be given. Can measure, press down, shaking together, running over. Okay, God, I've been doing this all year. I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready to win. And then me and my trainer got into a little fight, and he popped me in the head. I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm not ready. And I feel like that's how it is with God. It's like, God, I'm ready for the next thing, okay? Read your Bible. Pick up your next Brother Hagin book. Keep doing what you're doing. Come on, God, I'm ready for something exciting, big, you know, take on the world. I'm ready for the fight. Let's go. I've been training. You've been training a week. This is boring, God. I don't even want to be a fighter anymore. And I feel like the people with Christianity, it's the same way. Man, I'm reading this word. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is great. This is good. I'm on fire. Woo, hallelujah. We ran with Pastor Mark Hankins. Oh, I got breakthrough. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 2 weeks later, it's like, what does Pastor Mark say? Confess the word. Quote the word. Read the word. Confess the word. Quote the word. Read the word. Read it. Read it. Sow the seed. Get it in your heart. We're going to go to, I want to read Mark chapter 4. This is one of Dad's favorite scriptures. This is how you go from the one transitioning to the next one. Because God is getting you ready for something, but he's not going to put a baby in a position that needs to be an adult, mature believer or something to do, right? And so, why? Because you could destroy yourself. There's many people who, their character, Dad always says this, your talent can take you somewhere, but your character, oh, there it is. So as you transition with God, then you become an adolescent, and then you start to come in, and you start to get a little bit of a ground on yourself. You're getting in the word, you're praying, you're reading the word, but you still got a lot of stuff to work out in you, right? And then you get a little older, and you're getting more established, but even this analogy that Paul is going to talk about, that he said, I had to speak to you in 1 Corinthians as babies, not as mature adults. This process still takes time for even people. It's not an overnight thing. And even though as you're growing and you get to have teenagers, they can still read, write, you can give them more responsibility, but they still need to be taught. They still have their moments when you got to deal with them. You got to send them down. You got to talk with them. And God's not putting them out to do more responsible work. He needs them to grow. And so this process takes time. So I said Mark chapter 4. Let's see. I don't think I wrote it down in here. So I'll read it from my Bible if I ever get to it, because I'm enjoying so much preaching. Is everybody intrigued already? Are we keeping everybody awake with all my illustrations? We haven't gotten to the big weights yet, but we're getting there. So I know Zach's excited about that. And so, Mark chapter 4, he began to teach by the seaside, and was gathered unto him a great multitude. He entered into a ship, sat by the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. He taught them many things in parables and said unto them, hearken, behold, out went a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came up, devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, and had not had much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and when thorns grew up, choked it, yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. He said to them, if you have an ear, keep hearing. So they asked him later. They said, so he says, I'm going to give you, the mystery of the kingdom of God. This is verse 11. And to them, without these things are done in parables, seeing that they may see and hear, not perceive. And he said to them, 13, know ye not this parable. Sorry, I can only find my King James Bible. How do you know all parables? So he said, this is the Mac Daddy parable of all parables. If you know this parable, you're going to understand the whole Bible, the whole kingdom of God. He said, the sower sows the word of God. You're sowing the word of God in your life every single day. And there are those that by the wayside where the word was sown, they had, and these are by the wayside, and the word of God is sown. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are like the wise sons on stony ground. And when they had heard the word immediately, they received it with gladness. They had no root in themselves, endured it for a time afterwards. When affliction, persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And so I realize is that even in your own life, when you begin to grow in God and you're doing the boring, reading the word, praying, studying, praising, worship, you get distracted. And because you're Satan's going to attack your personal life. Why? To get you off of the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first his will. Seek what he wants. So last week I had quite the time with my own personal stuff. And I just kept having things happen one after another. And what happens is you sit there and think about it all day long. How am I going to fix it? I need parts. I got to fix this. I got to fix my truck. I got to fix my car. I'm talking to the mechanic on the phone. And you're just fighting with stupid stuff. And I'm thinking, I should be in here filming and preaching the word and putting it on YouTube. And I'm over here like talking to the mechanic and dealing with things that I don't want to be dealing with. You know, personal stuff, property. I got a renter. We are working some things out. We're switching some agreements. Finally, we got it rectified. And I'm just like, my head is just spinning. He calls me, goes, are you ready to preach? And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. Well, I'm not seeking first the kingdom. I'm so, what is he saying? I'm sowing the word and stuff's coming and trying to take away. Satan is going to try to steal every bit of your time with God. So the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. He's going to try to pull you away from what you're doing. He's going to, I'm on fire for God. I got things I want to do for God. Satan's coming saying, I don't think so. I'm going to do everything I can to put a roadblock up. So he says that they immediately received it with gladness. They didn't have a root in themselves. So like what he told Pastor Karen, when the dry season comes in your life and you've transitioned and you're on this way to this beautiful destiny God has for you, it may be a little bit dry. Let in God's wanting Christ to be formed in you, that root to go deep. So when the wind comes, the waves come and beats on that house, it's not falling down. That root can survive. It's got water. It's being planted. And some people, I love that. I want the blessings of God to rain on me all the time. Well, if the rain happens all the time, it's washing everything out. It's creating a big old mess. He actually wants Christ to get so rooted and established in you to where you're not moved by circumstances. You're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by family members and people in your life causing problems and trouble and your car breaking down and your house and this and that and yada, 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 and it never stops. And it's like one illustration my dad did. We had a balloon, and he said Satan's like a little just every day, just annoying you to death, like a mosquito buffeting you. And so he says, and these which are sown among thorns, they hear the word, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, in entering and choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. So cares of this world, things that they're natural things that you deal with in this life. You can't let it consume you and take you. You have to remember your focus. You have to get back into the word of God. And so, but because you're, okay, I got cares of this world, man, I got to get rich. I got to pay my house payment. I want to be rich, and it's not wrong. I've been teaching on prosperity. It's not wrong to get riches God's way. When people make inner vows, and we learned this in marriage last night, marriage class. I've been in marriage class. Not for me though. I'm just enjoying the marriage class, in case you know I ever have to take over. And so, inner vows is what I will never be poor. You can lift that. You can take I can lift that. And so. Inner vows, I'll never be poor. So I'll do everything in my own power to never be poor. Not by the power of God, not by giving and sowing. I will make sure that I will never be poor. So that's an inner vow. Something happens to you in life, you grow up poor, now I'm an inner vow. Because what happens is you become God. You're trying to fix things in your own life. And so you get so distracted. Yeah, I love the Lord. But you get distracted, cares, riches, pleasure, things that you're like, I'm trying to get these things for myself. Seek first the kingdom. It's coming. So what are we doing? The basics, the boring stuff. God, I'm ready to do big things for you. Okay. God says, I want you to grow up. oh God, how long is this going to take? I mean, think about Joseph. Brothers sold him into slavery, throw him in a pit, wanted to kill him. He had a dream. He gets sold to Potiphar's house. Potiphar goes, man, he's the most excellent person. Joseph works his way to the top. It says he was so good at what he did that he was the number second in command, but Potiphar's wife looked upon him with lustful eyes. And Satan set him up to fail. And then all of a sudden, as soon as he wouldn't sleep with her, she screamed, Potiphar, the Hebrew boy, tried to rape me. So she's lying. And then they throw him into prison. And he's like, what is happening? I'm supposed to be doing big things for God. And then he's in prison. And the chief butler and the chief baker end up down there. So Joseph rises to the top again. Grace of God, goodness of God on top of Joseph's life. Rises to the top. The warden puts him in charge of everything. Loves Joseph. The favor of God on his life. But what is God doing? He's training him. So the chief butler and chief baker show up. And he tells the butler, God's going to restore you back to the Potiphar's cup. The baker, he says, you're dying. 3 days, you'll be gone. Whoosh, gone. See ya. So he goes, but when you go back, tell Pharaoh that I'm down here and to remember me and get me out of here. Well, guess what? He totally forgot. Joseph stayed down there 2 more years. And then when Pharaoh had a dream, then the chief butler said, I remember a guy. Why? It's not going to be about Joseph's doing that's going to get him out. Joseph's going through a season where he's going to learn to grow. And it's not going to be by his own hand and his own power. The whole time God wants Joseph at the top of Egypt, the ruler of Egypt. And he tells him there's going to be 7 years of good, plentiful, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. When the famine hit, they didn't even remember the 7 years of plentiful. God wanted Joseph there the entire time. But God had to get Joseph ready for that position and teach Joseph some things. He had to get Joseph spiritually ready for that position. But I mean, when he was a boy, he got that coat. He said, I had a dream. All of you are going to bow down and worship me. This is where I'm going, right here. This is going to be me. Well, guess what? He ends up in a pit his whole life. And I think it was like until he was 30 or 40 years old, till he ended up becoming chief, second in command. God took Joseph through some training. He's not letting you out there with, full tanks, full guns, full blazing, and you have no character. You don't know what you're doing. You're not ready for it. He's like, I'm going to grow you. And so it says that on these which they sowed on good ground heard the word, received it, and brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so is a candle to be put under a bushel, under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick, for there's nothing hidden which shall be manifested, neither anything kept secret that should come to abroad. And then he said unto them, take here what you hear with the measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you. And if you hear, more will be given. He that haveth, more will be given to him. He that doesn't use it, basically he said it's going to be taken. And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed on the ground, should sleep, rise night and day, the seed should spring up, grow, says 27, he knoweth not how. The earth bring forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corner of the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So that's, he said, the whole kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed upon the ground, should sleep, rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn. Many times with God, we're wanting to go to the harvest end of everything. But there's seed time. There's a growth time. He said it's like a farmer on the ground. And a farmer's patient. He's sowing. He's watering. But immediately, it's like we want to go straight to the big stuff. God, we're a Life Church, 500 people coming in every Sunday morning. We're not even ready for 500 people. We're doing everything we can to manage the people that are coming in. We're changing things, and we're working. We're doing it. But we got to show with he who is faithful with little, much will be given to that person. So you're faithful. You're eating your Wheaties every day. You're picking your weight up. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Faithful. Faithful. Then one day, you step up and God says, next one's up. Then you're picking this up. And you're like, oh, this is getting better. And you're curling it. 50s. I don't want to do too much, Pastor. So now, but still, you get here. It doesn't stop. Every day. Every day. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. You're going to eat it every day. All right, God, I'm ready for my next transition. I went from here to here. I'm ready for this. You wake up and you're like, God says, read the word, pray, get Christ formed in you, grow. Get out of being a baby. Get out of being a teenager. It's time to be an adult. Oh God, it's boring. That's how you grow. That's how you win competitions. You do the same thing over and over until you do it well. You do the basics. Was it Vince Lombardi? So this is a football, and he went back to doing the basics really well. Do you know the basics of Christianity? Could you come up and give a 3-minute message on how to get born again? Could you stand up and give me a message right now on tithing? Give me 2 minutes. Talk about tithing. I want scriptures, a couple scriptures, one or two. Can you do that? Are you ready? Oh, Lord, this church is ready. Are we? Are we really ready? Are we ready for people to come in and you take care of them? Or are you guys like, Pastor, take care of those people? Lord, I'm here for me, Pastor. I'm here. I got a good word. I'm going home. To heck with all these people. I mean, that's how church people, I thought that way at one point. But if we're the body of Christ, we're a participation with Christ, working with him, and we want bigger, we want better, are we ready? Because you're going to sow seed, and as that harvest is growing, you're going to take care of that crop. You start with something small, and you grow and bigger, and God gives you more. He who is faithful little, I'm going to give you ruler over much. But we got to be faithful in the small areas. I want to read a couple more about Christ being formed in you. So he goes on to Ephesians 1:5. Actually, we'll do 1 Corinthians 3:1 NLT. Can you throw that up there? Because I didn't put that in my notes. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I to a spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. You're a baby. Next one. I fed you with the milk, not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now you are able. Next one. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, and you walk as a mere man. So Paul's telling him, I can't even give you the word yet because of you're still a baby. And so you want to go to the bigger, and yet you walk in once a month and you lift this up. You put it down, you say, God, I'm good. I'll see you next month. It's like some people, I'm like, well, I ain't seen you in a month in the gym. I ain't seen you. You ain't read your Bible in a month. I'm ready to do big things for God. Man, I love God. How come my dreams aren't coming to pass? 2 weeks later, you read your Bible. Man, this is so hard. Well, you ain't done it much. So Paul's saying, you got to get off the milk. We got to get off drinking milk. We got to eventually get to some solid food. But it takes discipline to do that stuff, right? So my notes keep popping back up. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do and gave him great pleasure. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. That is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. He chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to what? His plan. So it's this mysterious will. God has his own plan. And in this plan, at the right time, he's going to bring everything under the authority of Christ. Christ in you. He wants to see Christ formed in you. He wants Jesus. It's a mysterious plan to people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, we don't have to go there. He said, people, I can't explain the mysterious plan to most people. He said, because you're a baby. I got to break it down so basic to you. And then once as you get older, I'm going to go into the mysterious plan. I got to go back and we'll do in Hebrews. He talks about, I got to lay again the foundations, repentance from dead works, doctrines of baptisms. Paul says, I got to go back to the basics of the basics again and again and again before we can move on. And so until we get Christ formed in us, we're just always in the basics. The transition's never happening. We're not moving forward in life. We're staying. How many people I've seen in the gym year after year never change? People come in year after year in church, never change, never grow, never pick up a Bible and go, I'm going to grow in God. Yes, it's boring. There's times you're just reading. You're like, I want something amazing to happen. Okay, keep reading, keep studying, keep praying. And you'll see as you look back, you're like, oh my goodness, this church is changing. There's people coming in, getting born again, saved, going through Bible school. We were in Apopka Middle today. We're in Apopka High School. This church is moving forward. We had over 100 and something just in the last few months, like 120, 30 kids get born again. It may not be like big advancements, but we're moving forward. We're not getting stagnant at least, right? So he says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He wants you to walk in good works. So Christ formed in you, now he wants you to walk. Ephesians 2:16 through 22. He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who are far off and those who are near. For by him we have access to one Spirit and the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So he's saying Jesus put the chief cornerstone down, and then the prophets and the apostles are building you, growing you into a house that God can use. Why? You're God's hands. You're God's feet in the earth. If you're not reading your Bible daily, you're not praying daily, you're not doing the basics well, you're not coming to the day where you're like, oh, now I'm doing big things for God. Okay, now I'm to a place where I've been doing this for a couple years. This is easy. This is 75 pounds, easy. I can do this. All right, God, now we're doing crusades. Now we're T.L. Osborne type stuff. Now we're in the heavy hitters. I could switch those to 90s, but it's still just as easy. It's easy because I'm conditioned for that weight. I pick it up all the time. I'm used to it. I'm in there five days a week, but I'm in my Bible 5 days a week. I'm growing my spirit, man. Why? Because I want God to use me. God, use me. God, use me. Well, I started here. Faithful, 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 faithful. Do it every day. This is boring, but I'm doing it. Why? That's how you win. You can't just, okay, God, tired of this. I'm into boxing now. Forget that mess. I'm doing something new. Well, you're going to have to train, do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Anything you do in life, it's going to be built by repetition. You might as well take the word of God and do it, because you can't, the more people pick stuff up and they put it down, they pick it up, they put it down, stick with it. Stay with it. Stay with the word of God. Stay with reading your Bible. Because when Christ is formed in you, that's when God starts going, okay, I can trust you with some miracle working power. I can trust you praying for people and miracles popping. Why? You're not going to get a big head. You're not going to get full of pride. You're helping somebody. You're not walking into FCA going, you know what? I got all kind of knowledge. I'm going to sound elegant with words. I'm going to preach to these kids and sound smart. No, you're walking in there going, you know what? I'm helping somebody. I'm going to do something so basic, so simple. Why? So they grow. It's not about me. It's about them. You get off that whole, you're not a baby anymore. Adults are like, how can I serve? How can I help? Babies are like, I'm coming in here, Pastor, feed me today. Feed me, Pastor. I don't get anything out of Sunday morning. I love people. I see new people coming in. I may hear something Pastor says and go, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. But then people go, oh, I heard that Sunday, Pastor. That's good. What's new? What's next? Well, go back and listen to the last four sermons. I mean, do you know them? It's what the Lord told him. I'm going to give you the greatest revelation. Jesus died on a cross, went into hell 3 days, and rose again. Pastor said, okay. Yep, I didn't even write it. I already know that. God said, no, you don't. Study that. How many years has it been? 30-something years, and you studied that in Christ, dying on the cross, becoming sin, becoming Satan himself? He's just now, Brother Hagin, before he died, said, how much little we know about you and about what happened at Calvary. How much little we know. And people are like, Brother Hagin said that. Oh, my gosh, where am I at? And because, like he said, with love, and he says, I've made love my lifelong quest. A quest is 20 years. He said, if you don't understand love, you don't understand all the commandments. You fulfill that. And what did Henry Drummond say? Make love your lifelong. I think Paul said that. Make love your lifelong quest in another translation. Quest is 20-year journey to figure something out. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love hardly notices. Love wants other people to get ahead. Love is not suspicious about people. And he's saying, I'm taking 20 years just to study that one subject. And why? So Jesus says you can fulfill all the commandments. That's, you want a reward from God, you start just with love alone. God is love. That's how you got saved. Jesus loves you. Next thing that happens, Paul's saying, I want you to grow up and Christ be formed in you. I want you to become mature. Why? Because mature people help younger ones. They help the babies. They help them come in. And we want God to just do so much, and God's saying, just do the basics. God, I'm ready for something new. Okay, read your Bible today. All right, God, I did that. Okay, read it again tomorrow. And again, and again. And you're going to do that for the rest of your life. Brother Hagin was reading about T.L. Osborne, reading on righteousness when he died. Reading, studying the Word of God. You never come. It says that for eternity, you'll have faith, hope, and love, and these will be forever. You will use faith your entire eternity. You will never come to the end of faith. People say, oh, I just can't wait to get to my faith and I get my miracle. Well, then God's going to take you to the next one and the next one. And you're never going to stop growing until Jesus, he sees himself in you. And I think there's another one, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church, gave himself for her that he may sanctify her. Remember, love, Jesus' love was a sacrificial love. That's why God says, I want you to love people like I love. Not just why I feel like loving them. No, Jesus sacrificed himself for a world that was in sin. That he might wash into the water of the word, he might washing with the water of the word. Isn't that amazing? Present her to himself a what glorious church. When he comes back, he doesn't not having a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing that they'll be holy and without blemish. So God's wanting you to grow up, to clean up, to become without blemish. He wants to see his son in you when you wake up in the morning. He wants to talk to you like he talks to Jesus and hear, good morning, Father. What is the commands for the day? What do you want me doing? What's the plan for today? You want me to go talk to this person? I'll talk to him. You want me to sow a seed? I'll sow a seed. God wants to be able to trust you with bigger. God said, I want you to go do a crusade. Maybe you take up whatever. Maybe God says start a business and you're going to do $1 million. If he can't trust you with the $5 in giving, you're not going to this stuff right here. You're not playing with the big boys because you're not even doing the small stuff. You're not even reading your Bible every day. You're not even giving. God, I want to do amazing things, okay? Do the basics. Oh, no, God, I don't have time for that. And I think you see people in a rut year after year after year. Because God's one, I want to see Christ formed in them. I want to see them growing up to holy, without blemish, spot or wrinkle. And not saying, we understand that we're made perfect in our spirit, but God's saying, I want you to mature. There's another one. Every time I would flip in the Bible, I was reading yesterday, Paul would talk to another church. Oh, I don't need to go to church. Paul wrote letters to churches. People say, I talk to God. Well, he ain't telling you everything. Why? Because he never told, he dealt with individuals before the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, woman at the well, talked to certain people. But when we got to the new covenant, what happened? The church of Corinth, Hebrews, writing the churches of Revelation, seven churches. He's writing letters to these churches because God is going to talk to a pastor. He doesn't violate chain of command. Not saying that God will talk to you 100%, but there's many things God is talking to him about for the general body that you're going to be sitting in here and I'm saying things and you're like, well, that's for me. When he told that to Miss Karen the other day, I said, that was for me. Man, I'm glad I was in church Sunday morning. Boy, that helped me. I'm so frustrated. You got to know the time and the season that you're in. What season am I in, God? Times and the seasons. Winter's coming. Well, I'm expecting the cold. I'm going to get a coat. I'm expecting then spring comes. Then summer comes. You got to know when it's changing, what you're doing with your harvest, what you're doing with your plants. Where are you going? And so it says that the children of Issachar understood the times and the seasons. And so you know what to expect when you know what season you're in. And so he said that. I was here at church and I said, I'm grabbing onto that word. Because when you're getting deep in God, your roots are going deep. And I said, okay, maybe that's where I'm at. And I want to see big changes. I want to see things happen. But changes don't always happen. Even with a butterfly, it's happening, but very slowly. And then one day he pops out and he's got wings. But he was in that cocoon, changing, transforming, transfiguration. But Christ formed in you. Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was transformed. Jesus was in the Word. Jesus was out praying. Then Jesus was out ministering. And then he was in the Word. And then he was praying. And then he was ministering for 3.5 years. But he was doing that his whole boyhood. Said that he would stand in the temple and teach. So Jesus was, he's not exempt from praying. He's not exempt from reading the Word. He did the basics. He understood the prophet Isaiah. He was reading from Scripture. He knew who he was. And that's how Jesus did. So you're like, God, I want to start a business, okay? Well, then we're going to work for somebody and you're going to grow your character. You're going to grow your work ethic. You're going to keep your word. You're going to show up on time. You're going to get to work. You're going to do your job. You're going to go home, stay late. Okay, God, I did that. Do it tomorrow. You're going to do it for a couple years. You keep doing it and God's building character in you. Why? Because he's not putting you in charge of all of Egypt when you don't even have a character to even show up on time, show up to work and get a job done. You know what I mean? So people are like, I'm ready for the next thing. Okay. God says, all right. Start with this. Oh, Lord, how long is this season going to last? Okay, so let's go down this road. Children of Israel could have made it in 40 days. What happened? 40 years. That was a 40. So how long do you want to wait before your breakthrough, your miracle, your next position in life? What did that happen? Pulled them out of Egypt, murmuring, complained against Moses, bringing us out here to die, Moses. Why, he saved them from slavery. 40 years. That generation didn't even make it. Then the next one goes in, the younger ones. And so, but it was a 40-day journey, 40 years. So really, it's up to you. Depends on how long you want to let Christ be formed in you. And so I'll be on my mower at home. I got Mark Hankins playing in my ear. You know, there's a lot of days I don't want to listen to Mark. I'm tired. I want to listen to just music. I just want to jam out. Yeah, just, you know, God loves me, whatever. But I'm not growing that way. Put him in. Within a few minutes, I'm like, this is good. I'm mowing the grass, working outside. Got my headphones on. I listen to another sermon. Listen to another one. Next day, I don't want to read anything. I'm tired. Okay, I'm going to read because I want to grow. I don't want to be in the same position in 10 years from now. I don't want to be 40 years in the desert going through the same mountain. God says, okay, going around it again. All right, God, read my Bible last month. Let's do it again. It's like, man, how am I ever going to get to this? Well, it ain't going to happen. You showing up one time a month, picking your Bible up off your dresser, reading Jesus Loves Me. Okay, let's go to work. I got to get out of here. Promise scripture, boom. Read your promise book. It's going to take a lot more than that. Then if you, until Christ is formed in you. Let's see if we have another one. Philippians 1:11. Paul and Timothy, bondservant of Jesus Christ, the saints of Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi, bishops and deacons, grace to you, peace from God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. This is, he's beginning all these letters. I thank my God of every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, making requests with all joy that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, as it is right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart as much as both in my chains, to the defense, the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how I long for you, the affection of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge, discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. You may be sincere without offense until what? The day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness. He said, I want fruit, you to have fruit. So he's saying, until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be, he says, God completed a work. He began a good work in you, and he is going to complete that work until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the letters Paul started out, Colossians 1:3-8. Give thanks to the God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, love for all the saints, because of the hope laid up in heaven, which you heard before the word of truth, the gospel, has come to you, as it has also in the word, bringing forth fruit, as also among, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth, you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servants, who is a faithful minister on Christ your behalf, who declared to us your love in the Spirit. So he said what? You're hearing the truth of the gospel. It's coming to you, bringing forth fruit. Epaphras or Epaphroditus is coming, teaching you things. You're growing in God. And so God is wanting you to grow up. And so people are like, I'm ready for my next big move. God's saying, grow, 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 grow. Just keep growing, keep growing. All right, God did that for a few years. Then you're doing this one. Oh, that's getting better. Okay, keep growing. Keep showing up to church. Keep listening to Epaphroditus. He's teaching you. Next thing you know, okay, now we're doing some big weight. Now we're pumping some real stuff. Now we're doing big things for God. Why? He can trust you. You're faithful. You're growing in God. And so, last one, Colossians 1:24. I rejoice in my sufferings, fill up my flesh. It's lacking in afflictions of Christ. Forsake his body, which is the church. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery was hidden from the ages, generations. Now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known the riches, the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man all wisdom. We may present every man perfect in Christ. I labor, striving to his working, which he works in me mightily. Paul is saying this book after book after book. I am striving, laboring, that you would be presented before God perfect, that you're going to grow up, that you're going to mature, that you're going to pick your Bible up, that Jesus is going to be so formed in you that he can see his reflection when you wake up in the morning. He can see himself in you. And then he begins, he says that there's one scripture where he says that if you, as you grow in God, you'll be used for the master, ready for every good work. And so some will be vessels of honor and some will be vessels of dishonor. He's just saying some will be vessels of just common use, but some will be vessels that will be for better things, higher things. Well, how do you become that? This. You're doing the boring things. Boring. To me, same. Coming to church Wednesday night. I've been coming to church Wednesday night for years. I'm still coming to church Wednesday night till Christ is formed in me, till he can see the perfection of himself in me. So I want to read this small little thing about transitions in people's lives, because, and I believe that you do end up going, God does take you to transitions when the time's right, when you pass the test. Moses, he came back to Egypt, eventually took the children of Israel. He didn't make it to the promised land, but he got pretty far. And then Joshua had to take him through. Moses died on that one, didn't make it to that one. But then Joshua was the one that was granted, passed the test on that. But even with Moses and Joshua, think about this. Moses, during the battles and the wars, they fought Moses' hands. As they were up, he had two people holding his hands up, Joshua and Caleb. And then the children of Israel were fighting. It's going to take this whole church, the people, the staff, the prayers, holding pastor up, praying for him, praying for the lost. And it's going to take the church that we're out there, we're waging a good warfare, a good fight of faith. Now, when we've won against Satan, Satan's defeated. But it doesn't mean Satan's going to lay down and just let us have it. We're going to enforce his defeat. There's people that need to be born again. People need to be saved. And it took the whole children of Israel to go to the promised land. The whole children of Israel to go to Jericho and to go through it. It wasn't just the leaders doing it. I believe because the Bible says the saints, we're to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Jesus will hold the church and the congregants accountable for the work of ministry. And people are like, oh, that's pastor's job to do that. I don't think it is. Not according to the Bible, it's not. I do it because I'm a Christian and I love to talk, witness, and I'm doing everything in our power. He is, we all are, and we're growing. But he says that the church's job, the congregants, we are to equip the saints. You have pastors, teachers, evangelists to equip the saints for the work of ministry. God, I believe, will hold the church accountable for how we're reaching the lost, for how we're discipling people. It's not just our jobs to just pastor, go disciple this person, that person. No, you're to grow up. You're to grow up. And he says, I can't talk to you as a mature person. Paul says, I'm still talking to you as a baby in Christ. It says in the book of Hebrews, he says at this point in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, you ought to be teaching the word by now. He said, but you're not. And we're going over the basics all over again. I'm praying this church, we will not be that, where we're constantly laying the foundations of repentance from dead works. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Now, maybe Sunday morning when people come in, that's what we're doing. But as we grow, the majority of the main believers, we're going to the promised land. We're moving to, we're not going to be 40 years in a desert stuck in the same place. We've had the same amount of people. It took Moses. It took Joshua. It took Caleb. It took leaders. It took the children of Israel that went in. It's you guys that go in and be like, oh no, it's just, I'm not, I'm just insignificant. You know, I'm just here to receive. No, God wants to use you. God needs you. God wants to take you to a promised land. It wasn't just going, Moses, hey, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to open the door. You guys can all come in. Me and Joshua and Caleb, we're going to make this happen. We're going to open the door and y'all are going to come through. No, it was a joint effort. And God was displeased when they were murmuring and complaining. Not Moses and Joshua and Caleb. Now, I'm sure, now God deals with leaders in the Bible, but he said the people were murmuring and complaining. He's holding them, and he said Moses isn't going in. And so everybody didn't go in, the leaders and everything, because of that. So we're one as a church, as a body. We're doing this together. We're in this together. We're winning the lost. We're winning cities. We're growing in God. I can't just be like, well, I'm reading my Bible. I don't know what the rest of Word of Life Church is doing. I'm serving God. No, we all have to do this. We're all going to be held accountable until the day of the Lord Jesus. Where is Word of Life? You were given this job to win this city. The Lord says, where are they? Oh, God, it's not my job. That's Pastor Morgan's job to win those people. I'm good. No, he's going to hold us accountable to it. And we want to win those people. So I want to read this about change. Transition always involves putting something behind you and embracing what's ahead of you. It's letting go so you can take a hold. In Exodus, God's people couldn't have both Egypt and the promised land. They couldn't hold on to the past and expect a better future. They had to have a clear moment when they made the break, putting the past behind them. There was no going back. Every transition begins with an ending. We have to let go of the old thing before we can pick up the new one, not just outwardly, but inwardly. And so I'll read one more thing about it. I think I said that a bunch. In fact, tension causes, you need to release the past and receive the future. Again, the tension that is in between releasing and receiving is that we struggle with most. It's like you've closed one door behind you, the past. You can't make out there's a door ahead of you. But for right now, you're in the corridor between them and you're not sure how long you're going to be there. It's a gap between leaving the old and receiving the new. And so I believe that that transition time is like the 40 years of the transition. And so God's looking for faith. He's looking for good attitude. That we're, okay, Pastor Moses, we're all going to the promised land. We're doing this as one. We're doing this together. We're growing as a church together. We're going to read our Bible together. I'm faithful with it every day. We're fighting these battles together. I'm coming in here. Pastor, what do you want to do? People come in. You want me to grab new people on Sunday morning? Hey, how you doing, brother? Man, it's so glad you're here. I'm not really good at this, but it's nice to meet you. I just want to tell you thanks for coming. Okay, it doesn't have to be, you know, you're beginning, even as a teenager, you're starting to help the babies. The teenager doesn't know how to do everything, but they're starting to help. They're starting to serve even in that area. And so I believe that for this church to move forward, it's going to take every person in this church. Every single person saying, I'm putting my hand to the plow. I'm not going back. The past is behind me. We're going to shut a door. We're going to walk through the corridor. We're not staying in this corridor 40 years, and we're going to move forward. Amen. And how is that going to happen? The boring stuff. Yeah. The boring. Pastor, what's next in this church? What are we doing next? Bible, prayer, read the word. Talk to somebody about Jesus. What are we doing tomorrow, Pastor? Bible, read the word, walk in love. Now we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? And so it's like, well, that's boring, but that's how you win competitions. That's how you go to the next level. That's how you win fights. That's how you make champions out of people. Because one day you wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm a spiritual giant. I woke up and said, man, I went 4 years. I'm almost 4 years out of Bible college. Praise God. Man, I'm so sick of Bible college, but I look back of how much God has grown me that I'm witnessing to people now. I'm reading the word every day. I can read like 10 pages a day. When I started Bible college, I could read one page, shut it down. I was like, oh God, my eyes hurt. Oh, I got to write an essay. Okay, I'm going to write 300 words. I'm done. Quit. It's not boring, but what happens in Bible college is what is 3 hours a night we were here, and but it's a mental fight. It's in the ring. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Next week, 3 hours a night. 2 years later, 3 hours a night. And you know what? You want to quit. But guess what? I kept staying at it. I kept going. I'm not quitting. I'm not a quitter. I'm going to grow in God. I know the Lord called me to do ministry. Next week, I'm showing up. I'm tired. I'm showing up. What do you think about how people make champions in boxing and weightlifting? They're tired. They show up to the gym. They're working out. People's lives are on the line. Souls are being saved. We have eternities. Why don't we treat it the same exact way? I didn't quit 3 years, 4 years, still in it. The fourth year was the hardest for me because you're just like, man, I'm good. And the Lord said, stop. Don't quit. You're going to do this your whole life. Why don't you enjoy the process? God said you're going to read your whole life. You're going to study your whole life. Enjoy it. Because what happens is, okay, I got to get this done. I got to get 1,500 words written. I got to do this. I got to go to church. I got to preach. I got to take care of all those. God said, just enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the process. Enjoy it. Read the word. Train. Bible. And people are like, oh, so much with Bible school. No, it's so much here. Too much, God. Too much. No, it's not really that hard. You wake up, start reading. Was what I had, and then you get quicker at it. I'd wake up. I just do my Bible time, and as I'm reading, I'm writing an essay while I'm reading the book, just like 10 minutes in the morning. Shut my phone off. Next morning, write a little more. Next thing you know, 1,500 words is done. Boom. Now I'm cranking books out now. I'm no longer, this is getting easy now. 1,500 word essay, easy. Just picking it up, cranking it out. Now I can do that even on my shoulders. I just have to get Zach to spot me real quick because I'm a little cold. But you grow to the point where, oh, I can, it was hard to read books. I got to do a book a month. Next thing you know, I'm cranking out a couple books a month. Now we're doing these big, thick books. God grows you. And I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've gotten 100 kids born again. And we got into a middle school. I'm growing. I don't see it every day because it's the mundane. It's the daily task. It's just showing up at church, reading your Bible, praying, coming to prayer. God, when is something going to happen? God looked at me yesterday and said, look how much has happened in 4 years. Look how much, you didn't even see the change that's happened. How many people's lives, people coming through Bible school, how many people you've born, gotten saved in the gym, in the schools, witnessing how you've grown, how your finances have changed, how your sowing's changed. Every week, your sowing's increasing. But you look back and it's the small things that make the biggest differences. Because usually when people try to do too much, too fast, they wipe out. But it's consistency. Guys come in the gym, they want to beat the next guy. They throw up a bunch of weight and they throw their leg out, throw their back out, trying to compete with everybody. Just relax. Enjoy it. Wake up, read your Bible. You know what? I got all hell breaking loose. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to grow in God today. Oh, I need all my cars are in the shop. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to study and read God's word. This person's calling me and they're mad and they're not coming back to church. Praise God. We're going to grow in God today. Well, we got to make all these changes at church, and these happen, and the pump doesn't work. We got to dig a ditch. Praise God. Now, actually, that did bother me for a whole week. I was trying to figure that out. No more. But you know what? I did it and got through it, and I never did it before. And it's just a new thing for me. But you grow. And you're like, all right, Lord, I'm not going to let that take over my life again like it did and kind of compromise my word, my time in the word. And that's what Satan does. And I believe is that as we do the basics well, just the basics of Christianity, basics. People are like, feel like nothing's happened in my life. No, it is, because you're coming on Wednesday nights. You're coming on Sunday morning. You're reading the word. You're not even the same place you were last year. It's like, I don't know, what do we want to see? Like these massive changes, and I mean, it's like unrealistic. We watch movies, and in 1 hour, they go from the beginning of the movie to the end, and everybody's in love, and he saves the day, and they take off into the just, woohoo, an hour later, and you're like, man, my life's terrible. This guy's life changed in an hour on TV. Man, our life's boring. I mean, but it's like we're so conditioned to just quick everything, and it doesn't happen that way. Seed time and harvest. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the harvest. It takes time. It takes for things to happen. Celebrate the little things in your life when you look back what God's done in you. Enjoy when you wake up your Bible time. Because for a while, I was like, I just got to get this book done, get through Bible school, I got to read, I got to study, I got to preach. But God's like, why don't you just enjoy it, relax. You're doing great. So much perfection and pressure on myself to perform and be good. Enjoy your life. Enjoy waking up with God. Enjoy going through the challenges. It says that through every circumstance, you praise the Lord. Always offers in a sacrifice of praise of God on our lips. It says every trial, every affliction, every tribulation, you praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. I got problems today, but praise God. What did he say? That one man, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. R.W. Shambach came on the radio every day. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. A man's dying in the hospital. He's on his deathbed. No money. Family left. And Jesus walks in the room and says, you don't have a single problem. All you need is faith in God. And that man, he said, get up out of this bed, go in there and shave yourself. The Catholic priest came in, put the garment over him, announced him dead. And then another priest walked in, Jesus, and says, you don't have a single problem. You just have faith in God. Next thing you know, the man's up shaving, and the nurse walks in and screams. You don't have any problems. We make a big deal out of every single thing. And we're just like, God, nothing in my life is changing. You know, yes, it is. You're not the same place you were when you walked in tonight. You're not, even being here tonight, hearing this word, you're not even the same. Christ is being formed in you. You're growing up to a mature believer. So the work of ministry, perfecting of the saints, you're being equipped, you're being spiritual impartations. You're coming in, pastor's been preaching to you, and you're like, I've been listening to this for 10 years. Christ is being formed in you for a greater work. You're coming in, picking up a dumbbell every time you walk in church, cranking it out. Year after year, next thing you know, you're walking into church and your spirit man, if you could just see your spirit man, he's probably 7, 8, 20 times bigger than Zach walking through here. And you're like, God, I don't feel like I've changed. You've changed. A lot of you have changed. Even Miss Barbara, from the first time she came in just a few years, complete difference in her. and who she is, how she's praying. Came up to me the other night, laid her hands on me, praying for me. She didn't do that when she first showed up. The other night at prayer, she just grabbed me and started praying over me. I was like, hey, this woman's different. Something about her is different in her prayer. Her prayers have changed. She may not notice it, but she's a completely different person. She's growing every single day, doing the mundane, boring stuff really well. That's my encouragement tonight. What Pastor said to Karen hit me on Sunday. Let those roots go deep in the dry times, but don't stay in that wilderness for 40 years. God, why? Okay, I'm going to give him this.
Don't ever think that everything has to be spectacular in order for it to be supernatural. Supernatural happens in this church all the time.
Yeah.
Every Sunday, every Wednesday, all week long, supernatural is going on. You're thinking it's got to be spectacular in order to be God. The woman with the issue of blood, the only two people that knew she got healed was her and Jesus. Everybody in the crowd, they saw nothing. But every Sunday, people are being healed. People are being delivered. People's lives are being changed. And you're sitting around going, what's going on in this church? So I have one announcement. May the 3rd or the 2nd, May, the mayor's prayer breakfast, what day is it?
May the 2nd.
Now, don't tell everybody what I'm telling you. Last year, every year in the Alliance, they wait till the last minute to try to find a guest speaker. I'm not the president, neither is Justin, but we found a guest speaker anyway. You can say amen. Amen. You know, sometimes if you're not the boss, just take over. Never mind. Amen. That's too much for y'all. So we have David Barton's son coming. Now listen, and we got a hold of Federer, and then Federer got a hold of Barton, and so we pulled all those strings. No one will know it. Our name won't be on the mat. We will not get accolades, but we did do it. This church is changing the city. Now, we don't stand up and wave a big flag. We did it. Just leave it alone. But if you want to go to a very good prayer meeting, you better start, because they're going to limit tables this year. The fire marshal's going in and they're making trouble for us and everything. So we got to deal with that in the morning. But I think they're only going to allow us 40 tables instead of 50. So if you want to go, you better get your tickets. It is a huge event. Spiritually speaking, Apopka has always been the center of the political and spiritual arena in Central Florida. This was the seat of the Seminole Indian tribe. This was the political, spiritual seat for hundreds of years. Apopka was. It's still the second largest city in Central Florida, but no one knows it. They think Orlando. Orlando's a little tiny town. There's nothing in Orlando. But Apopka has always been that, and we're here for the reason of the city. And the city's a big deal to God.
Amen.
So if you want to show up and just support it, and just pray with us that morning and pray over the city. We've seen, there's what we're seeing in the schools. Those things don't go on everywhere. Someone is praying that in. Guess who that might be?
FCA came to us and said, if it wasn't for you guys, FCA wouldn't even be in Apopka Middle. And then that door is opening more doors into the other schools. And so they don't know how it happened, but we know how it happened. It was prayer Sunday night. We started praying over the schools. Things are changing in this city We got other schools opening up after Apopka. We got a lot of stuff moving. And so we're doing something in the city. You guys are definitely doing something.
Do y'all have a minute? I'm going to share something with you. Years ago, we were in a prayer meeting in the old building. I remember we'd sit like Indians. And the Lord Jesus took me physically out of my body up over the city of Apopka. And I'm standing over 441. Cars were going under my feet. And Jesus was standing to my right. And he said these words to me, "I have given you the city." At that time, Clint Brown was right there. And I went, and I didn't point at Clint, but I went, "What about all the other churches?" He said, "Well, are you going to do it alone?" I said, "Well, no." And that was when he told me to get out of my box, little Word of Life box, and start meeting other preachers. Mm. Working with other denominations is not easy, but it's not impossible.
That's true.
Because the goal has to be Jesus, not tongues and interpreting and running aisles. We can do anything we want to in here, but when you go out there, it's just Jesus. So we're making a huge impact in this city. What he preached tonight is true. It's line upon line, line upon line, line upon line, line upon. Just don't quit doing the basics. You'll grow. Satan is going to do everything in his power to get you offended and to get you from doing the boring stuff that is going to make a Christian out of you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that Christ be formed in us until we are the reflection of him. Every person in the sound of my voice, Father, will be different from this night forward. Father, that Jesus, they'll have such a hunger for the word, the prayer, worshiping the Lord, praise and worship, tongues, praying. They'll have such a hunger, Father, for the boring things, the everyday things. And you are working, you're changing. They'll look back even a couple weeks, a couple months, and they'll see their life is completely different, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be blessed. Love you. Thank you for coming tonight. This is the best night of your life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.